Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the hope of Christ's return.
We have our friend Laura joining us on the podcast.
Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. This podcast topic was sort of suggested to me by some email dialogue you and I had. You had been going through some hardship and suffering in life, and you were just talking about how that you'd found great hope in the biblical teaching about the fact that Jesus is returning, and that grounds and anchors some hope for us. And it got me thinking about the fact that I think for a lot of us, especially because we live in a fairly affluent, comfortable time in history, we don't actually long very deeply for Christ's return. We sort of would rather just go home and watch Netflix and, you know, go to parties and hang out with our friends. And there's so much of our hope that has sort of been brought into this life that sometimes the hope of the future can feel a little bit dim and distant for people. And so I just thought, man, this is a topic theologically and practically and pastorally that would just be good for us to talk about, because I think we, as the people of God, ought to always be hoping for Christ's return. And to the extent that hope is dim in our consciousness or doesn't drive us and animate our worship, we're probably not very much like the New Testament Christians. So wanted to see if you'd be willing to start out, Laura, just sharing some of the stuff you've been through in the past couple of years, and you can go into as much or as little detail as you want, but sort of just some of the framework for what's happened in your life that sort of caused you to really long for a deeper hope and sort of grab hold of, you know, Christ in a deeper way.
Sure. So, I, as a child accepting Jesus at a young age, I always knew that Jesus would return. And I always remember growing up, and just thinking like, oh, but I want this to happen first, or, oh, I want to graduate high school, or I want to get married, or I want to have kids first. And
don't come back yet, because I got some stuff to do.
Exactly. Yes. My own agenda. And so
I was the same way. I totally remember that.
Yeah. So I had always known that this is a promise. This is what's going to happen. But, you know, I had my own agenda. So it wasn't until June of last year, 2017, my brother Brad was killed in a car accident. And during that time of grief and suffering, it just made me process life and how fragile life truly is, but also like, what is our hope and what is this life? And it's almost like I was just like, this life is an illusion, you know? And so I just was in a deep sea of grief and just trying to use the truth from God's word to try to process that, and to give me an eternal perspective. So 6 weeks after my brother had passed away, our little girl, our 4-year-old little girl, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And so while we were struggling with this deep grief, trying to just get up for air, we were just pulled back under. And again, just going to God's word and just trying to saturate ourselves with truth of his promises. And not only does he meet us where we're at in that grief, but just how, you know, we don't have to be a victim of these circumstances. For one, we're not of this world. You know, our citizenship is in heaven, but we also eagerly await his return. And so that was our hope in those moments of just processing death, but also hard diagnoses and unknowns and uncertainties and all that just comes with those situations. And so,
what do you think it is about hardship and suffering and pain that awakens us to like more of a sense of longing for, you know, that pulls our hope out of this world and sort of into Christ in deeper ways?
Knowing that this is temporary, you have, like, when you're in suffering like that, you have to know this is temporary. Like, this is not going to be forever. It will be forever as long as I'm on this earth. My brother's always going to be gone. We're anticipating another scan with my little girl next week. So like, there's things in this world that are reminders, of this brokenness, but, just knowing that this is temporary, is what creates that longing for his return, knowing that when that happens, death will be no more. There will be no more hard diagnoses. There's no more broken relationships. There's no more financial hardships. Like, it's just rest, you know, it's being in his presence. And there's just that's our goal. That's our blessed hope.
So with Christ's return, I mean, there's just many wonderful truths that are wrapped up in his second coming. Are there any particular aspects of that have been especially sweet and life-giving to you about, I mean, when he returns, this is going to be true?
The death will be no more. Mm-hmm. Like, I will never have to experience grief. I'll never have to worry about getting a phone call in the middle of the night of a tragedy. I'll never have to step into a radiology clinic again mm-hmm. to wait for 24 hours for the results of a scan. There's so much more, you know, it's just a broken world. And so just the sweetness of knowing, like, I will never have to experience any of that ever again. Mm-hmm. It's just so, how do you not long for that? You know,
what you say reminds me of, I don't know if it was around Easter time, was, you know, perusing Twitter. and I can't remember who it was, but someone tweeted something about the importance of, like, when Christ returns, that there's a physical resurrection, a physical restoration that takes place, and how sometimes in the church we sort of just spiritualize resurrection. And to hear you say, like, death will be no more, that there's going to be no more sickness, no more brokenness, that Christ's return brings a physical reality. It's not just philosophical or abstract, but like in our very bodies, things will be different.
Yep.
I mean, that's just such a beautiful hope, because, I mean, we know how broken our bodies are,
right.
and you see that, you know, with your little girl and with your
yes.
brother passing, and but to realize the very physical matter is going to be transformed.
Right.
It's so beautiful.
I think I see it as like a cosmic shift, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. when
yeah.
you think of like Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree of fruit, and they had to experience the fall, like this cosmic shift of like perfect wholeness with Christ or with God. And then all of a sudden it was just the weight of the world just on their shoulders. Mm. And the darkness that had to have come over them. And so you just have to like imagine when Christ does return, the beauty is that we get to experience the opposite of that cosmic
yeah.
shift. So we feel the weight of the world on us, this brokenness, the darkness. But when that moment happens, like, we get to experience the opposite of that cosmic shift. So we get to experience the fullness, the beauty, the rest, the peace and the comfort that comes with just being in the presence of Christ forever, forever.
So for those that are, you know, in seasons of suffering and perhaps mourning or in the middle of, you know, facing illness, whatever it may be, just take opportunity. You have the microphone, disciple them, or even talk to pastors and leaders that are walking with people. What have you found are helpful practices to really cultivate this sense of hope in Christ's second coming, as Bob asked, you know, deepening worship? Like, what have you found you've done to really connect with that?
Sure. So just being in the Word, and just there's countless verses in the New Testament that talk about eagerly waiting his return. And when you think of like you're waiting for something, you know, you're not just distracted. Like Bob said, you're not just watching Netflix, you know, you're anticipating that this is going to happen. And so just being in the Word and just saturating yourself with that truth of, you know, your posture before God, anticipating that is just a big deal. And so, yeah.
That's good. That's good. That intentionality of it too is huge, where it doesn't just, you know, trying to check out or avoid it, but actually leaning in and letting the Lord meet you in the midst of that and that anticipation, it's huge.
So nobody signs up for suffering. Nobody says, let me raise my hand and, you know, put me on that bus. And so there's a sense in which, right, it always happens to us. It's always, in a sense, unexpected. We don't go looking for it. though suffering is always a trial and a hardship, in what ways has it been strengthening to your faith in God? You know what I mean? In what ways has, what do you experience or know of God now that you would not have known apart from suffering?
Sure. So I think just knowing that presently I have this privileged position in Christ, but also that I have this glorious future destiny that's coming. And so just resting in that truth of that's my identity. My identity is in Christ. That's, you know, this is not about me and my story. This is about him and his greater plan. And so just stepping back from like a 10,000 foot level and having that perspective of, you know, a biblical perspective and an eternal perspective.
Let me ask a similar question from a little different angle than I asked before. How has community helped you cultivate this sense of hope or point you to Christ, whether it be, you know, experience on Sunday morning or in gospel community or friends, family? How have they kind of walked with you in this and in kind of deepened your experience of this hope?
That's a tough one
for
me.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's.
Because community's been hard.
Sure.
Like Eunice said in her talk about suffering, people don't know what to say.
Yeah.
People don't know what to do. So it's a lot of it's just giving grace.
Yeah. No, this is good. This is a good answer.
Yes, giving grace and dying to expectations and just, you know, learning from, you know, I'm guilty. Like before all this happened, I had no idea how to do anything, like, you know, to respond to this either. And I think that this experience and the suffering is, you know, it's sanctifying me, but it's shaping me also. So that way, you know, in the future, when people go through similar experiences, I can be in that and just sit in that with them too. And, it's hard. Community's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate the honesty of that because it is, it's, you know, very well-meaning people sometimes always aren't super helpful. And just to be honest with that, with, you know, and being able to say to people, you know, those that just kind of sit with you and that's awesome. And sometimes people say things that aren't helpful and just have to be, hey, it's messy. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
There.
And I think like we have had amazing people come around us and love us and just, you know, be praying for us. And that's, and really it's like, people are like, how can we help you? And it's like, just pray.
Mm-hmm.
Like there really is nothing you can do to help us. Just pray, pray for clear scans, pray for peace and comfort. Just pray for Jesus to return. Like just pray because this is hard. This life is hard.
I'm curious if there's any scripture that has kind of just been like a rock for you or that you've gone back to over the last couple months as you've thought about this.
Yeah. So one of them is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. So it's the coming of the Lord. And so it explains that moment of the archangel, the cry of the archangel, the loud trumpet sounding. And I sit and I wonder, like, what is that moment going to be like? You know, like if I'm alive when that moment happens, like, what is that going to be? What's going to happen? Like, is the sky going to rip open? You know, is it going to be this piercing sound or is it just going to happen like so quickly that none of us even realize it? And so I love just meditating on like, what is that going to be like? You know, what is that moment going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. But then also Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So again, over and over in the New Testament, it just talks about waiting and longing. I love reading that because it's just a good reminder. It's easy to get distracted, even though I do have this hope and longing for him. I can feel myself as time goes on getting, you know, distracted and, you know, life goes on. And then I'm like, no, wait, like I need to, you know, check myself and just stay grounded in truth and I don't ever want to lose that hope that of his return. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be caught off guard. So,
yeah, I think that's good, because I think people can sometimes have the tendency to, when they've experienced like hardships and suffering, to want to hope in something, but end up just kind of numbing themselves with something else. So whether it's like checking social media all the time or Netflix, like you said, Bob. Mm-hmm. And so I think I think you used the word posture, kind of like having this posture towards, or just maintaining that hope in Christ's second coming. Yep. I think that's really beautiful.
It's really interesting that you point out the theme of eagerly waiting, because I do think we hate waiting for anything. Mm-hmm. I don't like to wait in line for 5 minutes, you know, like if the line at the drive-thru is too long, I'll just skip it. So the idea of cultivating a posture of awaiting and expecting and longing, man, we're just not very good at that in general, you know?
Right.
And so it's interesting that that's almost like this, if you think about a disposition or a demeanor, right? What does it mean to cultivate a spirit that has an expectation and a sense of longing and hope for Christ to return? And probably how little that plays into how we think about even spiritual disciplines or the kind of things we're trying to cultivate in our souls.
Mm-hmm. I just... You know, adding to what Bethany was saying about scripture, so the eagerly waiting but also staying awake is another common theme that you read about. Right. And so, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep, and what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake, be on guard, keep awake. There's like this theme of like, be on guard, stay awake, eagerly wait. You know, it's just so beautiful to me that you know, and what's crazy is back in like the turn of the century, they were hoping for Jesus's return then. And it's like all this time has passed by. And and so, I mean, we're hoping and waiting for his return now too. So
it's really interesting. I read a study one time sort of history that basically said in moments of history that feel pretty bleak to people, Christians tend to put a lot more focus on Christ's second coming. And in moments of history that feel pretty optimistic and hopeful, nobody really talks about it, you know? And so it's sort of like you can even see culturally and in terms of world events, the darker things feel, you know, the more you find Christians like leaning into these promises and hoping for them, and yet our affluence or, you know, our safety or our security, as those things sort of feel more grounded, Christians tend to have, you know, you don't hear as many sermons on these themes, and you don't hear people talking about them as much, because it's sort of like our, a lot of our hopes in this world are sort of realized, you know, and it feels kind of comfortable. So it's interesting that this isn't just true of personal suffering, but like nationally and internationally, globally, you know, as this kind of ebbs and flows and just with what's being experienced in the world.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the cross is obviously, the cross is our salvation, right? What Jesus did on the cross, that's our hope. That's what, that's the gospel. That's the good news. But there's also his return. And that's a part of the gospel that hasn't been fulfilled yet. And it's imminent. It's coming. It's going to happen. And so be awake.
Yeah. It was really interesting. I was reading recently about how a lot of our conversation about the gospel can be only backward looking to the cross and like my sins are forgiven and, you know, Jesus died for sin. That's all good news. But how much of our hope also needs to be forward looking, because not only that Jesus will come back, but that like who I am to be becoming is anticipating that future, you know?
Right.
And so that like, what's my vision for transformation in myself? Well, it's the fact that I'm going to be one day made like Jesus. And so that process can start now. Like, and that's what I want to hope for and long for. And so it's a really different way of thinking. I'm thinking not just about looking back and saying, well, my sins are forgiven and that's good news. You know, Jesus died for me, but also looking forward and saying, and Jesus is returning and I'm going to be like him and be communing with him. And so that process can start now by his grace as he continues to shape me and form me.
Yep.
Something that just came to mind as far as a parallel saying, is it something the effect of what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And the idea that how would you live your life if, you know, in light of Christ coming? Because like in that sense, like he is coming, he's restoring, he's, you know, victory. And so this eagerly anticipating, this waiting in the midst of suffering, you know, growing in, you know, godliness, all of those things. It's kind of, hey, if I know that this is my destiny, this is the end here, should that not compel me to just throw myself into life and be very intentional and purposeful about living for the glory of God? Because I know, hey, this is going to work out, and it's going to be hard and it's going to be challenging, but I know the end because Jesus is coming back. And how much, if we really cultivated that sense of his return, how much would that really change how intentional we are and how much we would risk and seek to grow and give our lives away? So I'm provoked by, you know, your emphasis here, because I realize that I can sometimes play it safe in some ways,
mm-hmm.
and can catch myself being risk averse. But it's like, man, if Christ is coming back, man, then
risk it all.
Yeah, right. To some degree. Yeah, yeah.
Leave it all mm-hmm. in the field.
Yeah,
as the coach used to say. Sorry for mixing my metaphors.
Hey, it works.
Well, Laura, thanks for being a guest on the podcast and for helping us think about these things.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.